Hi, I'm Megan Segura.
And I'm Eric J. Mack.
And this is The Daily Dish, Bravo's official podcast.
So, Megan, you just got back from Chicago.
Yes, Kanye's favorite city, namesake of Chicago West.
It's the only reason you went, really.
Yeah, of course.
Not the wedding.
Yeah. No, the wedding was actually in a small rural town in Illinois called Monticello.
Ah.
Near Champaign-Urbana.
Okay.
Anyway, cornfields for days. So many cornfields.
Too many.
I mean, a lot.
You guys looked really beautiful. I don't know if everyone saw their pictures. Megan had a great dress. It was very Megan.
Oh, what does that mean?
I don't know. It's just really cute. You're into like the short skirts but long sleeves. Like I think that's a good look.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. What'd you do this weekend?
Well, I actually went up to my old neighborhood to show Danny around. I lived in Washington Heights prior to living in Queens, and I went with my old roommate, and our old neighborhood is like lit now. There's a gay bar on the corner of my old block, and then like an ale house across the street, and there was never anything up in that like general vicinity, you know, like 159th and Broadway.
Yeah.
And now there's a Boxers NYC on that corner.
And that's a gay bar?
It's a huge gay bar. It's like a sports bar gay bar.
Oh.
But there's a bunch throughout the city. You know, there's like a there's one in Chelsea. I think there's one in Hell's Kitchen. And
right.
Then they've now opened one uptown.
Nice.
Things have changed.
Mm.
You would like Boxers. They all wear just Boxers, the guys who work there. Sarah's nodding her head. She's like,
I'm going this weekend.
Wait, we did go one time with Crystal.
Oh, that's right. Remember? We went to the,
Hell's but we
kitchen,
sat in like the couch area. I don't think you got the full experience because you didn't see the guys behind the bar really.
Right.
I also had a lot of interviews while you were gone.
Who?
We had some Married to Medicine ladies come through.
Okay.
And you guys will hear in a couple weeks, Gina Kirschenhider. From Real Housewives of Orange County, yes.
Did you say it correctly for her?
I think I did. She didn't correct me.
Okay, good.
But like, I feel like I've seen it written out and said it enough.
Oh, it's my proudest achievement that I can write out her last name without having to look it up.
Same. We're talented.
So talented.
So what are we talking about today?
Real Housewives of Potomac. It is the part 3 reunion, the one we've been waiting for.
Mm-hmm.
Did not disappoint.
Nope.
Below Deck Med, the season finale, and then Real Housewives of Orange County. We're still in Arizona, and things are getting even crazier. And then Real Housewives of Dallas, Mexico trip.
We also have interviews with Real Housewives of Orange County's OG, Vicky Gumbelson, and Leanne Locken from Real Housewives of Dallas.
I feel like those two could be friends.
Or worst enemies.
Yeah, like you would definitely go one of two ways.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay, so Real Housewives of Potomac.
Oh, my God. The husbands are out.
Oh, gosh. I just have so many thoughts about this episode.
So before we get too much into, obviously, Michael, which was a lot of this episode.
It was basically the
whole thing. I did appreciate, in the very beginning, Karen throwing some support for Robin and Juan. Like, I love when Karen gives that sort of motherly kind of advice or perspective and just throws support at the other women, because I feel like she is just the fairy godmother of the group almost.
Right. Do you mean when she said that she was okay with them not getting married?
Yeah, I think she was kind of throwing them the support that they've been asking for from everyone.
Right.
Because even when we had Robin in the office, I was like, well, what's the deal? Are you and Juan getting married again? Like, what's going to happen? And she's sort of like, yeah, in time, but like, we're good where we are. And
right.
You know, Karen was like, I've seen them make so much progress. I'm just happy that they are where they are, and whatever they want to do is what they can do.
I just love the way Juan and Robin are. And if the word marriage changes what I see right now, don't do it. Hello.
Well, if it changes it for the better.
No, yeah. But this is really good. They've worked really hard to get to this place, and I've watched it, and I just want to see it continue to get better. And if that's the case, go for it. But you guys are killing the game with love, and I'm here for it.
Yeah, that's nice.
So A plus to that.
Okay, now let's get into the Michael stuff.
Now on the opposite side.
Okay, here was my first big point.
Yeah.
I need to know more about the whole thing with Monique's cousin and Michael.
Right.
Because we found out that in one of the unaired footage clips that they had shown, I mean, they did eventually air it,
but
it showed Michael saying, like a guy kind of walking toward him like, hey, Mike, he's like, I didn't touch your butt. And everyone sort of thought that that was the cameraman, but it was Monique's cousin.
Yeah.
But then they didn't provide any more details than that.
So I said, do y'all typically do that? Like, do y'all typically have jokes about butt grabbing? He was like, no, not that I know of.
Well, and I think Monique references, like, again, everyone was drinking a lot that night. Things are kind of blurred. We're not really sure. It was so late. I think Monique probably didn't want to speak for him, but there's definitely probably something that he knows.
Yeah.
That he is probably not coming forward with.
Mm.
It's also, it wasn't a good look throughout this whole experience for Michael. The way, as soon as he came out on stage and the conversation started, he went right after the women. He was like, you should all be ashamed the way you talked about this situation, the way you handled this situation. You know, he kind of went right for the throat on all of them, which I just, when you're that defensive and then offensive right off the bat, I just don't think that's a good look.
And, you know, not to jump the gun, but like at the end of the episode, Karen says to Michael, I didn't see it either way. So I am not going to say I believe you.
Yeah.
She was like, I don't know. And I think that is okay. Like, just because you know someone, just because you're friends with someone, doesn't mean you're going to be like, oh, well, if you say you didn't.
Yeah.
Especially when the whole episode, we're talking about all these other instances where he did grab people's butts, including Andy Cohen.
Including Andy Cohen.
It's just odd because on one hand, we're joking about this thing in the episode, but on the other hand, it's like a serious allegation.
Right.
I don't know.
I agree. And I think Chris Bassett knows more than he's saying as well, because he brought up a really good point about why is only your credibility valid? Like, why are you able to deny all of this and say that the rest of us, everyone else in this room, is in the wrong? It doesn't look right. And then another thing that I really didn't like about something Michael said was kind of blaming Robin's misconception of what happened on how drunk she was.
You were very drunk, and you know you were very drunk. The fact that she could stand up was amazing. She was wavering all over the place. In fact, I just...
She said she was very drunk.
She was drunk.
Yeah.
She said she was
so you don't... Yeah, I mean... She
it's
said
a
that.
Fact she was drunk. So, we all so know she was drunk. The crew... So there's no way that you remember me saying that.
I think he's just pissed she would talk about something that happened when they weren't filming. But
that's
it's
true,
relevant.
Too. Yeah. I just didn't like how he was going with the whole, like, oh, well, you were so drunk, you probably don't remember.
I know.
That feels like...
He was so drunk. Whenever you sort of say, like, well, why would you believe this person? Okay, that's the whole problem, right?
Yeah.
We need to believe people.
Do you know what I kept thinking about throughout this whole conversation as well? Is it's like the opposite of the boy who cried wolf. Because he keeps crying denial, 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 and everyone else is like crying about the wolf and he's not listening. So at this point, you know, he and Ashley, whatever may have happened, they're so far in on the side of like Michael is innocent. It's essentially been determined by the court system because the claim, which it wasn't a charge, it was a claim, had been thrown out. So it's just a little bit like, I don't think we're ever going to get a real resolution out of it. And I think Giselle had kind of mentioned in last week's interview that, you know, everyone did walk away at the end of the reunion kind of like, what else more can we say about this situation?
Yeah.
Because it's not getting anywhere. But something still feels a little
unresolved. I just don't think that any of the ladies on the couches should be like influenced or threatened a loss of friendship to say, oh, okay, I believe you, Michael.
Yeah, exactly. And that's, I appreciate that Karen is staying very strong in her beliefs and being like, this is what I feel. I'm an advocate for sexual assault survivors. I'm standing here and this is what I believe and I support Ashley, but I can't get on board with what may have happened.
One thing Michael did that really pissed me off, because you were saying that, like, you know, he's going after these women.
Mm-hmm.
He was being really petty at some points, like when Candace said, well, this is why I feel the way. And he goes, I don't even talk to you, Candace, because I frankly don't like talking to you.
Yeah.
Candace, I didn't even talk to that night. I really don't like talking to Candace.
It's just like, Michael, you are not helping your cause.
Not at all. He was kind of throwing a bit of a tantrum, which I think doesn't hold well for his case. And also right at the very end, when they were kind of wrapping up and the husbands were leaving, one moment that irked me was when Michael went up to Ashley and started talking to her, and then she was like, the cameras are still rolling, we're still mic'd, don't forget. Yes. And I was just like, what was he gonna say? Or what was she afraid that he might say?
Right, it's more like that. But it was such like a politician thing to do. I am mic'd and there are cameras.
Right.
Smile, honey. Ooh. Like, ugh.
That thing with Robin.
You're on camera, you're mic.
That's right, though.
You're great.
She crossed it.
Also with Candace, we saw Monique get really emotional at the end when she was talking about her kind of rose and thorn from the season. And she talked about, obviously, her rose was her rainbow baby, but then her thorn was the falling out that happened between her and Candace. And so I was kind of happy to see Monique get so emotional. I don't think we always see that side of her.
For sure.
We see her get fired up kind of quickly and threaten to like drag people even if she's pregnant. But like the other side of it where she was kind of like, oh, I realize I am missing a friendship now.
Right. And it was nice that Candace reciprocated that sentiment.
She got that folded tissue ready.
So that concludes Potomac.
Another season down, perhaps the best one there has ever been.
Yeah.
And God willing, we'll see a season 5. Real Housewives of Orange County?
Yes.
Arizona is hot in that desert, even if it's chilly.
All right, I have to say, Vicky's latest rumor, not as interesting as a train rumor.
She's blaming me of her bad reputation. She can't even go to her daughter's school.
You know, you can't go from Kelly had a train run on her to Kelly's not allowed at her daughter's school.
Right. I mean, that seems like it should have been the first one you're going to make up. Like, oh, she's not allowed at the school. And then maybe drop in the, well, she does cocaine. And then end it with the train thing. But, I mean, where does this come from? Does Vicky just absolutely make it up in the moment and then just decide that she's going to believe it?
But it's like, my favorite is she keeps doing this, and then the look that Shannon will give her is just like, what is wrong with you?
What are you doing?
Why can't you stop?
It's not even like it's gossip, because we really don't know the source of any of Vicky's information. And I guess we are to assume that someone is telling her this, and then she's just running with it. But it also seems like it's just coming out of like a moment of anger with Kelly that she just decides to throw out this accusation just for the hell of it.
And by the way, that is something that we should keep in mind. We don't know if it's a parent at Kelly's school that Vicky is friends with.
Yeah.
Or it's a random fan on Instagram who's like, well, I heard from my sister's cousin's brother. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. It's not a good look for Vicky, because I think she already knows that Jolie is being impacted by these rumors. And for her to then use Jolie's school as this next accusation, it's just really unfair.
But why do you think Kelly got so angry about it?
I think it's just another nail in the coffin for her and her relationship with Vicky. But maybe it's also like a touchy point, because maybe something has happened in the past, you know?
Right.
I mean, but like, we go back to last season, we saw Kelly and her ex go and support Jolie in the production of Oliver. Like, she's obviously allowed near the school if she's able to go to that. So,
and I will say, because like, she had said that Michael was not thrilled about her relationship with Brian and, you know, Jolie meeting him. But it was so nice to see that in that moment when Kelly called him to be like, can you believe Vicky said this? Is it true? He like totally backed her up.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, she's gone to him a couple times in the last couple of seasons, I think, for support. And it's important to see that kind of healthy relationship when they do co-parent a child. And it is good that someone is in Kelly's corner, someone who can defend some of these accusations that Vicky is making. Because the other women, they might have their ideas, but at least you know, like, her ex-husband, if he was a dirtbag, he'd be like, yeah, 100%. But he's telling the truth. Bless his heart.
Bless his heart.
Another thing that I thought was really funny about this whole Kelly, Vicky, then Tamara situation is the whole time Kelly and Vicky are sort of going back and forth on the phone. I love that they're also calling each other from the various houses, like the villas on the same property. Because they just don't feel like walking outside in the cold. But Tamara's sitting there wearing a shirt that says, kindness is magic. And at this point in the episode, who is exhibiting this kindness?
Right.
Who is channeling this magic?
Maybe the beekeeper.
Maybe the beekeeper that everyone was awkwardly hitting on for Shannon.
Yeah. I don't know.
Well, another thing, too, with Kelly getting the support from her ex-husband, we also see her get down and naked in that jacuzzi. But she calls Jolie also. And she has a conversation with Jolie, like, Vicky's acting up again, blah, blah, blah. And Jolie's like, you know what? You do you. And gives her some, like, nice sound advice.
She's just making up lies again. She told everybody that I am not allowed at your school.
Oh, whatever. I'm just saying. She has a boring life and she wants to make up stories, but whatever.
Yeah.
You do you.
You do you.
I know. I will say, like, so Kelly gets criticism for treating her daughter like a peer instead of a daughter. Like, I know Vicky has said that before.
Yeah.
But I really like their relationship because it's not, she doesn't talk down to her daughter. You know, it's,
yeah.
She respects her opinion.
We also have to talk about Tamara in this whole situation. Outside of her kindness is magic shirt, that is quite ironic in my opinion, she does seem to be playing both sides. Right?
Yes, but to her point, why should she have to pick sides?
Well, exactly. I don't think she should necessarily have to pick sides, but both Kelly and Vicky are kind of asking her to at this point.
Yeah, but why should she have to?
I mean, I think it's further evidence of her pot-stirring behavior this season, that she is not necessarily standing her own ground and being like, look, I think you did this wrong. I think you did this wrong. I think we need to work it out or whatever. She's sort of still kind of being the middleman in the whole situation.
But she did say to Vicky, like, look, not okay for you to, again, repeat this rumor.
Yeah. Right. I don't know.
Also, I love that Vicky was like, mad that Emily told Kelly about the school rumor.
Right.
And Vicky was like, who does that? I wouldn't repeat something. And yeah. Then they like show. Like
30 minutes prior. Yeah. And she's literally repeating a rumor about Kelly to everyone. What did you think about Kelly milking Bronwyn's teat at the table?
No, it's not coming out.
It is, totally. Oh, it is. Holy shit, you are lactating.
I have been nursing for 19 years.
What the
There were like a lot of like, oh, moments.
Yeah.
There was the teat.
The teat. I was like, this is not dinner table activity. Like, this should wait until you're in the hot tub later and everyone's kind of drunk, right? Like,
No. I don't know that there's ever an appropriate time to milk another woman.
Maybe not.
Unless that's your thing, which in the hot tub, they said everyone has their thing.
Well, and we do know that Bronwyn's thing is maybe threesomes. And so she has been breastfeeding for the last, 19 years of her life. So maybe that's also her thing.
No, I don't want us to conflate the two because I think you can have a threesome without breastfeeding someone.
I would hope so.
But yeah. Great segue into one of my pain points of the Housewives franchise, which is this whole being so judgy of people's sexual proclivities.
Right. Yeah. It's not necessarily slut shaming, but it's this kind of weird perspective on like there's a certain way a sex life is supposed to be or whatever. And especially at me as a gay man watching it, I'm sort of like, all right, well then how do you, what do you think about what we gays do in the bedroom? Okay.
Yeah, I mean, look, good for Bronwyn and her husband that A, they still have sex because how many kids do they have?
Too many.
And then that they, you know, go above and beyond to spice things up on the rare occasion. Good for them.
Yeah.
And it was just, it's just odd to see all of these women like shocked and awed by it.
Right. It's a little crazy. The whole time that they were having the conversation about it too, because like Gina was kind of inquiring, you know, Tamara seemed a little curious about it too, and perhaps even open to the idea. But I couldn't help but wonder, and that was a full Sex and the City line right there. I couldn't help but wonder what the conversation would look like if Emily ever went to Shane and was like, what do you think about having a threesome for your next milestone birthday?
Yeah, I feel like if he said no to watching her sexy dance with clothes on, I can't imagine he'd be for it, but who knows?
I can't imagine he would be for it.
Even Gina surprised me with her reaction because she was like, oh, so you're into girls. Okay. And then she was like, sounds like a quick way to get an STD. I was just like, right. Gina.
I know. It was interesting, too, to hear that Bronwyn didn't necessarily identify as bisexual or bicurious or anything. She was like, oh, yeah, well, sometimes, you know, I go down on women or they go down on me and we have threesomes, but I don't necessarily think I'm bisexual. It kind of sounds like you might be a little bisexual, just a little bit.
I don't know, though. I don't know. It's a spectrum, right?
Right. Well, bicurious, then.
Yeah, or just, like, you know, she's not in the middle on the Kinsey scale. She's right. Just more a little bit to the left, where she's like, meh.
Yeah. The Kinsey scale is, what, 1 to 6, I think? So she's like a 2.
Yeah.
Like a 1.5, a 2.
Yeah.
I'm like a 9.
She's like, I don't love Thai food, but I eat it occasionally.
Right, right. Yeah. That's a good comparison. Now I'm hungry. Well, I will say at the end of the episode, we do see Vicky and Kelly come to a very emotional kind of agreement to no longer attack each other.
Let's see how long it lasts.
It was a little over dramatic for me when Vicky was like, I surrender. I surrender.
I surrender.
I was just like, all right.
But also, like, stick around for the interview with Vicky. Okay. Because, like, this conversation that was filmed happened prior to the interview. And you can tell they're not in a great place today.
Yeah. Well, and given what we've seen also in the mid-season tease, it seems like this kind of kumbaya moment is not going to last.
Right.
But at least Shannon got a little bit of peace by the end of this trip to Arizona, where it was supposed to be about mindfulness and, you know, connection.
And guys, the Real Housewives of Orange County after show is here. So if there are still lingering questions you have after this episode or want to hear what the ladies thought when they watched it, go to bravotv.com right now and check it out. So I spoke to the OG of the OC, Vicky Gunvalson. We talked about wedding updates with her and Steve, her difficult relationship with Kelly Dodd. Yes, she clarifies all those rumors, and plus what we can expect from her in the near future. Plus, she reveals the topic of her 4th book. Here's that interview.
The OG of the OC, Vicky Gunvalson. So happy to be talking to you again.
Oh, thanks.
Are you
such a funny thing that stays with me, right?
Right. I love it so much.
I know. Thanks.
So are you hard at work this morning?
I am. I'm actually in North Carolina at my daughter's house, but I'm working. I just took the boys to school a few hours ago, and I'm working away. So, yeah.
Nice. How is she doing, your daughter?
She's doing great.
How are the grandkids?
Amazing. They both wanted to stay home from school today, so I said, no, be gone. And the tears started crying. We want to be with you. So, no, it's great. Aww. Everybody's happy, which is good.
Well, I wanted to say congratulations on your engagement.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, I'm super happy.
Are you guys in the
plan? I got a good go. We haven't actually started planning yet. We don't really know what we're going to do. But it'll be beginning of next year. I don't know if we're going to be just him and I or if we're going to do the whole family. Brad and I have been talking about it. And Steve and I have been talking about it. So we don't really know yet. We're kind of just enjoying the engagement. But we don't know. We don't know if we're going to do, you know, semi-big or just family or just us. So as of right now, we're just going to wait it out and get through the holidays and figure it out in the beginning of the year.
Yeah. Do you think Bravo would be invited?
I don't know. We'll see how that goes. We'll see how everything turns out this year.
Yeah. What about the honeymoon? Any locations in mind?
We were talking about a cruise. I have a condo out in Puerto Vallarta, so I'm thinking there. I don't know. The great part about it is we're not in a huge rush. We're getting married. We don't know. So we're super excited, but we don't have a lot of plans going right now. I've got some health issues going on, and I've been coming out to North Carolina a lot. So, but no, we don't have any ideas yet.
Yeah.
And if we do the honeymoon, it won't be publicly obviously talked about. So it'll just be him and I.
Fair enough.
We don't need anything in the world telling us to go where to go, you know, or meeting us there.
Do you think you would have any of the OC ladies as bridesmaids?
You know, it's just going to be probably my daughters, our daughters. We have six kids. We're not going to do something like what Tamara did, you know, big formal wedding. We've both been married before. So it'll probably just be our kids.
Yeah.
And I don't even know if I'm going to have bridesmaids. I mean, it seems kind of silly. He's 61 and I'm 57. We've done that whole big thing before. And it's just more about us now, you know.
That makes sense.
Instead of the big experience. So we're good. I don't think Brianna said to me when I got engaged, she goes, "You're not going to do da, 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 da." I said, "Oh, Brianna, you're killing me. So funny." She's like, "Mom, just, you know, just keep it small." And so I don't know yet. We'll see.
I've loved watching you and Shannon and Tamara this season. I love that the Trace Amigas are still strong.
Yeah, we're having a great time. So it's good.
When the drama with Kelly started this season, were you at all upset that they were sort of torn between you two?
No. I understand where they were coming from. When we started filming this year, I hadn't solidified my contract, and I really didn't know if I was going to come back on or not, and that's why you didn't see me in a lot of the first few episodes. And also, they were hanging out with Kelly more, and Kelly was feeding them a lot of information. So from that, I completely understand. I mean, you're only as good as the last gossip you hear. And unfortunately, I didn't have the knowledge to know what Kelly was feeding them, and therefore I couldn't defend myself. So, you know, the truth of the matter is Kelly and I did not end on a good note last year, and we did not speak at all prior to starting to film. So it was a residual effect from, you know, the finale last year. And I have no desire or intentions on hurting Kelly. I don't. I said that in this week's episode. But I'm not going to be sitting back in her punching bag and continuously make fun of me. You know, I'm 57 years old. I'll be 58 in 6 months. I don't need this constant fighting. I've never built the show on that. When we started filming the show 15 years ago, it was supposed to be about our lives in California, how privileged we are. It was not entrepreneurship, women strength, my growth in my business. It was not ever supposed to be like this. So unfortunately, it's evolved into this new normal, I think, across the board of all franchises. And, you know, I don't like it. I don't want to fight with Kelly, but she's got to leave me alone. She has to. So, and if she doesn't, she's going to get retaliation. So, you know, a lot changes this season as it goes forward, but you guys will all see it.
Well, I mean, it definitely, it seems based on talking to Tamara and Shannon recently that they are no longer friends with Kelly. So, yeah, I imagine things are going to take a turn this season.
Yeah. And you know what? I want to say one thing, you know, about the finale last year when I mentioned her drug use. That was already public. That didn't just come out of my mouth. And some of the viewers are split with, oh, I shouldn't have done that. I shouldn't have hurt Jolie. I have no desire to hurt Jolie. I have zero desire to hurt Jolie. That wasn't about Jolie. That was about Kelly improving her act and making herself be more accountable for things that she's done. And I'm not to blame for Jolie, you know, at all. Her mother has been having a filthy mouth on the show for years. So Kelly needs to take accountability for that and stop blaming other people, you know?
Yeah. You know, you've been through a lot, you know, other feuds and have come out the other side. Do you think there's a chance for reconciliation between you two?
Well, you're going to see us in Arizona. And, you know, there was definitely some movement, but it went back the other way again. And so I have no desire to be around people that want to hurt me. Zero. And if she wants to hurt me and call me names, call me a pig and all these terrible things, I've never called her names. I've never said she looks like XYZ. I don't do that. And, you know, I don't deserve it. I'm not going to tolerate it. So, you know, while she's on the show, we have to all hang out together. But she's not somebody I'm going to seek out in my life at this time of my life. You know, she's got to change. She's got to take accountability. And she's got to be nice, you know. And that's she's got to stop it. She's really, really changed from when she first started with me. So,
do you think that the show has any weight on that, like that causes someone to change? Yeah.
Of course it does. I mean, you know, it's for some reason these women think fighting is going to keep you on longer. If that's what you want to do to stay on the show, then I'm out. I want to emulate what a businesswoman can do and what you can do after a bad relationship and how you can pull through and continue to grow a business and continue to do your best, to look your best. And that's inspiring. That's what I think our viewers want to see. I think they're tired of all the fighting. At least that's what I hear on my social media. They're tired of it.
I'm glad you mentioned social media because, you know, it just wasn't really such a presence when you first started the show. Now
we had no presence. We didn't even have the World Wide Web. You know that, right? I was the first insurance company to acquire a website. People wow. didn't even know what that meant. So I know you probably were still in grade school, but think about it. We didn't have website. We didn't have www. There was no internet. There was no Facebook. There was nothing. So when you're looking at, you know, the history of it, if somebody didn't like you, you didn't hear about it. Now you hear about it. So that is that good or bad? You know, I don't know. I think people spend way too much time on social media. I think that is replacing conversations amongst family members. You know, if you go to a restaurant nowadays, you'll see people on their phones and not talking anymore. And it just makes me sad, you know. Just, yeah. Life is just so different, you know.
It must be nice, though, to be able to get the positive feedback from fans, like those who really support you and love you.
Of course. I mean, that's always nice.
Right. But it does seem like the drama from the show carries over onto social media, and that part seems tough.
Yeah. But, you know, you have a choice as a reality star whether or not to engage in it or not. And there's a thing on our iPhones that we can track our screen time on social media. And I spend maybe less than 15 minutes a day, maybe at the most. Wow. If other people, you look at their phone sometimes, you'll see, and that includes my computer. That doesn't make me money. That doesn't keep me inspired. That really distracts me from family, from what I enjoy to do, which is work. And so I've choose to really force myself not to engage in it. It just doesn't behoove you anything.
Yeah. I think people really equate you with being a hard worker and someone who loves her job, but are plans to retire in the work? Never.
No. You know, I take very much after my father, and I'm on my way. I'm writing my fourth book right now called Life After Work. And actually, you interrupted me on my third chapter, but I'm writing about, what do you envision your life to be after work? And that's the title of the book. And, you know, my dad was 59 years old when he was diagnosed with Alzheimer's, and he was my best friend and my inspiration. And my first chapter is about my father, and he never ever intended on retiring, because to him, what was he going to do? But at 59, he got diagnosed with Alzheimer's and he was dead at 66. So a family of five, we all, you know, obviously lost our father, the bread maker, the breadwinner. I was, you know, I just had Michael and Brianna, and I was not really understanding the ramifications. My mother had never worked. And now you've got this person unable to work and unable to provide for their family anymore. And so I think about, like, what is my life going to be after work? Am I going to be dead this year, next year, 5 years from now? We don't know. You know, nobody knows their fate. So if you look at what you want to be when you grow up and how you want to retire, I can't plan that because I don't know. You know, so I have to just plan, like, right now I'm working, I'm writing my fourth book, I'm helping other people to learn how to be okay after work, meaning financially. So I do retirement plans and insurance plans and all that great stuff. But, you know, to me, retirement is when you have to retire because you can't work anymore. You're sick. You know, I don't want to be doing what I'm doing at 80, but I don't have good genes. My parents died young, and I don't know what's going to happen to me, you know? So I have to look at just life like every single day, do what makes you happy, inspire others, be influential. Like when we all go, you want somebody to say, oh, she made me feel good, or, you know, she taught me X, Y, Z. That's what's important. Not just fighting.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, I mean, when I watch it, other shows, I turn the channel. I don't want to see it.
Mm.
It's really negative, and it's really sad to me that we can't put more positive things on TV. You know, it really makes you think about it when you take a step back. Go, what in the world am I doing? What am I fighting with Kelly about? Okay, she called me a pig, and she doesn't think I'm pretty. Is that what I'm going to fight with her about? She mad at me because I said I don't do cocaine. If somebody said to you, I don't do cocaine, would you get mad? I wouldn't. I'd say I don't do it either. You know, you don't get mad at a comment on that. She's carrying this on for 2 years now. So.
Well, what's next for Vicky? That's what I want to know.
Oh, thank you for asking. I've got a lot of fun things I'm working on. I am building out a podcast right now. It's going to be coming out in the next 90 days. I'm also working on a slot machine app. So that'll be out in the next, I don't know, probably 2 months.
Wow.
I'm continuing to build my brand, coming out with some products. I'm very much a thinker. And when I have my downtime at night or early in the morning, and I journal and I write my goals, I do the best thinking because I can really get to who I want to be when I grow up, you know? So I think the biggest thing right now is my podcast, and I'm going to probably name it Life with Vicky. So it's Living Inspired, Fully Engaged, L-I-F-E with Vicky. And people all over the world about finances, about what it was like being on the show, just my life, my grandkids, my daughter, how sick she was and how she was able to really persevere and get through it. Having her move away to North Carolina, I'm looking out right now. She's on 25 acres and there's deer in her backyard feeding. You know,
wow.
Those kind of things I could never imagine my daughter moving to, out of beautiful California into, you know, a suburb of, you know, North Carolina. So it's hard, her living here. And I try to come every month, but the reality is it's East Coast, West Coast.
Right.
And I miss my grandchildren. And, you know, what is life about? It's really interesting. Raise your kids and they move away. And how do you adapt? My heart breaks, you know. So it's going to be good. Between my book and my podcast and my new online application, it's going to be Celebrity Slots. And it'll be my actual free game online. And it's going to be good. So I got a lot of fun things going on.
Well, I'm so excited to watch and see what happens.
Thanks.
So Below Deck Med, I see your first note. And I just have to read it. Listen, the table should be decorated, set, period.
Period. Okay? Because honestly, these people are spending a lot of money to be on this yacht. And it is just a nice touch to wake up to things that are already set up and just feeling like you're getting some kind of next level value for what you're paying for. I don't know. I'm with Captain Sandy on this one.
Well, I think regardless, it's like when your boss says to do something, you do it.
And that's a great point too. It's also just like the lowest hanging fruit for like pleasing a guest. Like the service, you know, everything that the interior already does, it's a lot of it is behind the scenes. You know, I don't think the guests necessarily recognize like, oh, they're making my beds for me every day or whatever. You know, I think it's just the easiest way to make an impact and just to like have that nice little touch, like whenever they're walking around and seeing that things are set up and look pretty.
Right. Do you think Hannah is passionate about yachting?
I don't necessarily think yachting is where she's passionate. She says it in the episode about how she's passionate about like serving guests, like making other people happy and feeling good and welcome and making sure that they're having a good time.
I understand where you are coming from with the passion thing. I am passionate about the guests and making sure their experience is the best, but I'm not passionate and excited about de-fingerprinting a boat or cleaning toilets or, you know,
But is it this world of yachting that she should be working in? Like, maybe she would be better suited for something in hospitality, like working in a hotel, for example. Like, maybe that would be something that she'd be better at, or I don't know. It just doesn't seem like she has the same passion as someone like Joao or Captain Sandy or some of the other people on the crew.
Right.
And we see it a little bit even from Travis over the course of the season. He kind of talks about how he's so tired and he's been, you know, 2 years straight without any time off. And he seems like he's getting a little burnt out. And maybe we see some of that with Hannah. But also this idea of having a passion and finding your passion. I feel like all of us go through that at some point in our lives where, you know, we have an idea when we're much younger about what we want to be doing when we're older. And then even if we end up doing that, sometimes it's not all that you expect it to be.
Well, and it also begs the question, do you need to be passionate about your job? Like, what if you're deriving happiness and passion from another area of your life?
Exactly. I mean, that's why people have hobbies or other interests outside of what they do for work, because it is sort of embedded in our culture right now that, like, your passion should be what you do for work. And it's sort of like, it doesn't always have to be that way.
By the way, what would you say your hobby is?
It's so funny you say that, because as I was saying, like, that's why people have hobbies. I was like, what are my hobbies?
Because I hate when people ask me that. And I'm like, I have no idea. I go home and I watch a lot of TV.
Well, you have dogs, a dog. You have a dog and you have cats.
But that's like saying my children are my hobby. That's right. Not a thing.
Right. I guess it's not a hobby. I mean,
look, do I like to go out and have an adult beverage? Yeah, but I don't know if drinking's a hobby.
I don't think it should be qualified as a hobby.
Sometimes I like to do a mean puzzle at home.
I do love a good puzzle. I think maybe, like, I would say music is one of your hobbies, and okay, mine too.
Except that I'm not doing it. I'm listening to it.
Right, but it's still something that, like, interests you. That's and you true. Pursue and you make it a part of your everyday right. activities. Like, you're always posting on your stories about what songs you're listening to. And I used to go to a lot of concerts when I was younger. I don't go to as many now, but, like, I want to get more into that. But also, am I going to pick up, like, crocheting? Probably not.
Yeah, I just feel like it should be woodworking or something.
I would actually like to learn how to sew, because I feel like that comes in handy a lot in life. But is that still considered a hobby? Yeah, Sarah says yes.
Working out, maybe. But it's not,
That should be my hobby.
It's just not an interest. It's just something.
Right.
To do to keep it tight.
Listen, Hannah, we understand what you're going through, obviously.
We're clearly looking for our passion.
We're both spiraling over here. Like, what is our lives? So they also do a game of Rose and Thorn at the dinner towards the end of the episode. And Aisha goes right for it.
Yes.
And is basically just kind of like, I don't think the interior got the proper respect and praise that they should have.
And my lie was interior not getting as much praise as they should have.
I think it's okay she said that.
I do too.
Like, Joao, sit down.
I know.
God, he's such a dick sometimes.
We've seen him make so much progress, and then all of a sudden he just like makes one of those comments and you're just reminded of Jezebob, and you're just like, oh man, you know?
It's also like, oh, you're just being so that guy who's like sucking up to his boss.
Yeah.
Like, calm down.
Well, and at this point, we know that she's already spoken to him about, like, I have a potential job for you after this. So he's definitely going to, like, go on Captain Sandy's side with this situation because he needs her recommendation.
Yeah.
And then I guess he ends up with that job anyway. So.
That's very, I don't know. It's hard to imagine him as a captain.
I know. But does that mean we will not have Joao next season?
Do not know.
Oh. Okay. We got to talk about Jack and Travis sleeping on the deck on the last night. Sort of two parts to this situation for me. One is this like bromance that finally got to reach its peak.
Right.
And the second part is poor Aisha, who ended up sleeping alone on the very last night after deciding she and Jack were together.
Yeah, but like, you know, I thought it was sweet that she was being the cool girlfriend.
Yeah, that's true. And also, two people sleeping in those tiny beds that they sleep in now that they're sharing a room? That can't be comfortable.
No, not at all.
Like, no way. What size bed do you and Aaron have?
Queen.
See, I think we only have a full, and it's just not enough room for the two of us.
I mean, I can imagine.
I can't imagine those tiny twin size beds.
Aaron's always like, we need a king, but I'm just like, no. Like, why do you want to get further from me?
Does Penny sleep with you in the bed, too? That's... See, then a queen, I mean, or a king might come in handy with a dog also.
I like the forced closeness.
What about the cats?
I have Super Tramp on my left, Penny on my right, and
you
Pip
are
does her
full.
Own thing.
Does her own thing. She's like, no way am
She's
I
like,
getting
involved. That noise.
So, Dallas, we are still in Mexico. We are experiencing some of this kind of spiritual side of the trip when they're going into these huts. They're doing this meditation. There's kind of like the mud and all of that.
Sweat lodge.
Leanne kind of isolates herself in this situation.
I think she just sort of threw a temper tantrum.
Right.
She's upset that Brandy and Cameron didn't want to play with her in this one instance and just got really upset.
Worst trip ever. And I got a flesh-eating bacteria last time I was in Mexico.
Well, and it was interesting, too, because when Cameron and Leanne were talking about the situation with Brandy initially, Leanne came to Brandy's defense and was like, that's a trigger for her. You can't call her trash. I know this about her. I think, you know, you should have a conversation with her. As soon as Cameron goes to have the conversation with Brandy, Leanne gets defensive that she wants to have it by herself, but it's between Cameron and Brandy, so maybe let them have their moment.
For sure.
And we see Cameron get really upset, and she just, you know, it's like, I'm not used to all of this drama, like, whatever. And then we see Leanne try to insert herself, and they're like, no, we're good, like, we're working this out ourselves, and that's when Leanne kind of was like, well, I'm going for a walk, I don't need to participate in this, and just kind of does her own thing. And it's a little bit like, are you isolating? Are you being pushed out by the girls, or are you isolating yourself? It seems like she's kind of walking that fine line.
Mm.
Well, so when they all come together at dinner, they finally all kind of get to have a conversation about what goes down and kind of the bigger picture of things that are happening. Like, Leanne wasn't invited to Deandra's party initially. And then Deandra's like, well, you weren't inviting me to your wedding. So exactly where do we stand? So this is either an opportunity for Leanne and Deandra to start turning their relationship around yet again, or it's going to go south.
I think it's going to go south.
Ugh. So also at the dinner, we see Leanne and Brandy take a moment to step aside, have a conversation. Meanwhile, the women are all at the table like Hawkeye on them, worrying about do we need to intervene, because it just depends. It can go either way with these two ladies. Brandy is like, Leanne, I know all about you. We're friends. We've been friends for a while. I get it. And Leanne's like, do you really know everything about me? When's my period?
I know everything about you. I know everything that you've been through.
When's my period?
She loves a period mention.
But, like, is that something that you know about all of your female friends?
Definitely not. The only person who I would feel like has that info is Aaron, where I'm like, I'm so tired. And he's like, well, you're getting your period next week. And I'm like, no, I'm not. And then I check my Kindara app and it's like, oh.
Wow. You guys are in tune. Or does he have his own app where he's like tracking your periods? Just like, you know.
I just think he knows the signs. But yeah, so I mean, it's like, it's such an obnoxious thing for Leanne to say.
It seemed like a lot of a defense mechanism, too. Like, she wanted to shut the conversation off right there.
Yeah, so she made an uncomfortable comment.
And an impossible question, too. Like, where is Brandy supposed to go from there? That doesn't really prove Leanne's point, and it's not going to help Brandy want to continue that conversation. So it's, again, and Stephanie points it out in the episode, too, Leanne seems to be very much isolating herself, but positioning it as something where it's the other women's fault and they're the ones who are pushing her away.
Right.
And that's not true.
Mm.
What did you think about the prank that they pulled?
I liked it.
I've never thought of that before.
Yeah.
Or seen it.
I don't really do pranks like that. Like, my pranks are like telling Aaron I'm pregnant.
It's a little different than putting flour in the hair dryer, but still a prank nonetheless. I'm going to try it. I feel like I could try it with Danny.
Well, now he's listening.
I know, but he's sometimes he's like a couple weeks behind. So I can get to it like this week.
Okay.
I just have to make sure he uses the hair dryer before I do. Because knowing my luck, I would
prank myself.
Yeah, I think I use the hair dryer a little more often than he does. See this volume? It doesn't happen by itself.
So next week is the circus-themed bridal shower / lingerie shower, I think.
Yes, I'm very excited. We are getting some kind of circus theme incorporation into some part of Leanne's wedding because it would be a missed opportunity. She was proposed to at the carnival. She grew up in the carnival. Give us a circus theme somewhere along your wedding journey.
Oh, and Carrie Duber is there.
Carrie Duber. Did you also see, speaking of Carrie Duber, that she was dining in France with Kris Jenner?
What?
Mm-hmm.
Why?
I guess she has a lot of time now that she's not on Housewives.
No, but what, they're friends?
I guess so. Or they have mutual friends, maybe, yeah. Check her Instagram.
Okay, that's, wow.
Megan is shocked.
I'm shocked, and I'm sad that I'm not there.
I know.
I love Kris.
I got the chance to speak with Real Housewives of Dallas's Leanne Locken. She explained why she didn't get along with Carrie Brittingham in Mexico at first, the status of her relationship with Deandra Simmons, and she explains her point of view of the whole Brandy and Cameron fight. Plus, she clarifies what truly is the weirdest place she's had sex. Let's take a listen. Ladies and gentlemen, Leanne Locken.
Oh my God, that was such a dream. I feel like I should like perform like Shakespeare or, you know, can it be the death scene, please?
Right. Do you know how to tap dance? Can you tap dance?
Hell no, I ain't tap dance. I've been in these damn boots all day. My feet are tired. My balls are exhausted. Okay?
Right. I mean, you've been doing press all day, all week.
Yeah.
Well, it's a new season.
It is.
And you planned your wedding in 7 weeks?
Yeah, and I was not a fan of math back then. So every time like someone would say that, like, you know, I was like, it's 8 weeks. And Steve was like, it's 7 weeks. And I'm like, can you stop that? I mean, I could, like, literally getting it planned. Like, I could feel my little butthole clench every time he would say how many I had left. I was like, but he was good.
Do you procrastinate everything? Or
everything, honey. I'm so good on the fly.
Yeah, well, you also had a wedding planner who we've seen before.
And did everything.
And so he's just pretty much like waiting for your approval on everything, right?
Yeah. Pretty much. I mean, and it's, and you know what? Honestly, like the community, the city was so wonderful to me. I mean, they heard I was getting married and it was like the outpouring to Steve. Like, we're going to play Leanne's reception. And Steve was like, oh, let me ask Leanne. But it was wonderful, you know? It was the perfect day.
Are you glad that you almost have like a documentary of it now because you were filming through most of the process leading up to it? So
yes.
Now you have a whole series almost that's about it.
No, I'm desperate for the actual wedding footage because I forgot to get a wedding videographer.
No. Well, technically, your wedding planner forgot to get you a videographer.
No, really. Oh. I think that was one thing he put on my list. Every closer to the wedding, I would literally only get like 3 things. Then I'd be like, I got one done.
Right. Well, so before we get to your wedding, you guys start off this season going to Mexico for Deandra's 50th birthday. So how was that?
Yes. Mexico. It is Mexico. Well, I love Mexico. You know, I trabajo en Mexico para many años.
Sí.
Okay, like a long time. So, yeah, I've been the Huela Balsam girl down there since I was 18. I love going to Mexico. I was not a fan of the 3-hour on the windy, curvy road van ride from the airport to the destination. Tequila helped.
Right, of course.
So I was, I basically got shit-faced on the ride there. You know, so then everybody else was like sober and then they were all like, we got there and they were all like, let's drink. And I was like,
you're like, yo,
I'm good. I don't need any more.
Well, when you arrived to the house, you and Carrie, you started to butt heads a little bit.
I did not butt heads. Okay, the head was butted towards me.
She
and
was
sweetie,
head-butting.
We all know how it works when you bow at me, right?
Well, I guess if you were drinking a little bit of tequila, maybe by the time you got there, there were a lot of stairs.
There were a lot of freaking stairs. Do you know me? I don't work out. Like, I haven't worked out in decades.
Right.
It's why I take happy and crappy pills, okay? One to make me in a good mood and one to make me poop my brains out. And that affords me not to have to work out. So, yeah. So she was just, we can do the stairs in the morning. And I'm like, you can do the stories in the morning. I'm have a cup of coffee.
I think.
Look at the beach.
I think there were something like 270 stairs.
Okay, see, I didn't count, but I can tell you this. It took a week for my calf muscles to stop fucking hurting. I would get out of bed in the morning and I'd be like, good, dang it, that hurts. Yeah.
I mean, that's a lot of stairs.
Yeah, and, you know, by the time it all solves out, you'll see where I stayed, which was like, oh, right. I should have been queen of aerobics.
Right. Do you think by the end of the trip, you and Carrie had sort of come to terms with each other and sort of worked through that tension in the beginning?
You know what? There's definitely a conscious effort on my part. I mean, what we end up in Mexico arguing over is beyond ridiculous. And you know, the thing was, it was like I kept trying to separate her and say, can I have a one-on-one with you? Like, mm-hmm. I feel like the entire season, it was like everybody was a part of Carrie and I trying to get to know each other. So Carrie and I never got to know each other. Watching the show, I'm actually learning more about Carrie than I learned filming with her.
Yeah.
I literally know nothing about her.
Well, you're going to learn a lot, I think,
I don't even know how old
season.
She is. I didn't ask, but I don't know, you know. And I don't think she knows anything about me other than what she's been told, and that's what she's memorized.
Right, or what you've revealed to her, because I know at some of the dinners you kind of get into a little bit of your history and kind of try to give her a little bit more of context as to why you react certain ways or something.
100%.
Yeah.
And it's met with the same that it's always met with, you know, oh, there goes Land.
Right.
You know? And so do people understand, like, you know, it's being in the city on 9/11, no one has told these survivors to get the fuck over it. Why do I get told it?
Right.
I mean, I'm sorry, but, you know, when you go through trauma, especially even as a child, like, it's any trauma. You have every right to explain why you react a certain way. I mean,
yeah.
You know, look, I was allergic to chocolate as a child, and every time I ate it, bad things happened to my body. So I don't eat sweets now as an adult. Does it mean that I hate chocolate and I want chocolate to fucking die? No,
right.
It just means the way I was raised, this is my reaction to it. It's no big deal. I'm not saying, hey, you can't have it either.
Yeah.
Just live and let live.
Right. Well, so also in Mexico, a lot of the women kind of bond in the sweat lodge, that sort of spiritual experience, but you didn't participate.
I did not.
In that moment, what were you feeling and why did you choose not to go in with them?
At that point in time, to be quite honest with you, Brandy and Cameron had been having that conversation. And when I heard Cameron start to cry, I got up because I wanted to try to mediate and explain. I know Brandy thought that I was probably going to be 100% on Cameron's side, but the truth was I'd already spoken with Cameron about the fact that you can't use the word trash.
Right.
If you're this elegant, etiquette manners, maybe we could come up with a better word than basura.
Yeah.
Okay?
Right. Yeah, because you knew that was one of Brandy's trigger words.
It's her trigger word.
Yeah.
So, and that is one of the things that I love about this group is as you get going, you really do understand each other so much better.
Mm-hmm.
So I know that's her trigger word. So, you know, by the time they work things out, I thought they need to go in the love shack and get busy, and I have no need to be in between them.
Right.
I'm not into thruples.
Not yet.
Not yet.
Do you think your time in Mexico helped your relationship with Deandra?
Oh, that's a tough one. I think I saw things in Mexico, in Deandra, that enlightened me to parts of her that I thought were no longer there. And so there certainly were tender moments for me, whether or not I reacted to it with tender, I don't know. But, you know, I mean, look, I will say this as the day is long about this season. Yes, my wedding is the most important part of this season, but the second biggest part of this season for me is for everyone to truly understand the dynamics that exist between Deandra and I.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a complicated, it's not like a black and white, or it's not even a rainbow. It is like layers upon layers of difficult emotional attachments.
Yeah.
And we, as humans just have to be able to find a place where we're at the same emotional level at the same time.
Yeah.
And that's the journey this season that you see. And, you know, there are times when she's there and I'm not, and there's times when I'm there and she's not. And I think that, to me, I'm most interested in rewatching that.
Yeah.
To see if how I felt in the moment is what I see. So I'm, you know, obviously there's a part of me that still loves Deandra.
Right.
I mean, you know, I don't say I love you lightly. But I do want the battle inside of her to, you know, win a certain way. And yeah. I don't know if that's the way she wants it to win.
Right.
You know?
I mean, when I look at your relationship, I kind of see this sort of sisterly mm-hmm. bond. Like, there is a love there, but I feel like there's just a struggle to sort of get back to the friendship. Like, there is that bond that's there, but the friendship part of it is still a work in progress.
And what's in the middle of that is this unnecessary competition.
Yeah.
And that is genuinely, I think, what I am the most sad about, because she's never going to be me. I'm never going to be her. I'm so happy being me. I mean, look, I'm broken. I've self-glued. You know, I should have stock in super glue. I put myself back together a million times and then reshattered myself and then put myself back together. So I know the journey. And I just think, you know, I want so much more for her.
Yeah.
I do. I really do. I want genuine, not verbiage, genuine happiness for her.
Where are you guys today?
We were at a party together last night.
Okay.
And we are cordial and friendly and, you know, I mean, but, you know, it's... I guess we're in my perception of it, episode one, friend intervention.
Right.
We need to, she said, we need to put things back together. And I said, why? And what was her answer? Because it's the right thing to do.
Right.
Is that what you want your friend to say?
No.
What do you want your friend to say?
You want to say, because I care about you. I want to rebuild this and I miss you.
Yeah. Yeah. So right. That's where we are.
Okay. In terms of the rest of the cast, I wanted to ask you a little bit about Stephanie, because
yes.
I know she was in recently and talked about how her depression and everything that she was going through in terms of mental health kind of brought the two of you closer together. Mm-hmm. So how are you guys today?
We're great.
Yeah.
You know what? I adore Stephanie for everything that she is. She is as beautiful on the inside as she is on the outside.
She is.
And, you know, she's one of those people like I don't trust easy. And so I'm always like, is she really this nice? Or is she just a really great actress, you know? And then, but then like you talk to her and you're like, damn, she's really this nice. Like, I don't get how someone can be as nice as Stephanie. I really don't.
Especially on Housewives.
I'm sorry. Like, I just can't conceive it in my brain.
Yeah.
But that is who she is. And I'm so beyond appreciative for that, for her place on our show, for her place in our friend group. Because, you know, she does provide a certain amount of, let's take a step back
mm-hmm.
and let's think about it. And, you know, yeah. And you know what? We had never bonded until that moment. And, you know, I will always say this. I'm not a surface person. I really like to go deep. So
yeah.
If you and I can connect on a level of something that's happened to you and something that's happened to me and we can express it together, it's a bond then that you build from. And I think that Stephanie and I created a bond, and that's something that we're always, no matter what happens on the surface, we're always able to go back to that place and say, I'm struggling today.
Yeah.
Can you help me? Cause
right.
I mean, there were times in Mexico, I went to her and I was like, I'm just going to walk in the ocean and pray a shark eats me. And she was like, no,
right.
No, you know.
Well, we saw her struggling in Mexico, too, like mm-hmm. with all of the tension. You know, we saw her go to Carrie's room and she
cry.
Was very emotional through
yes.
that experience, too. In terms of your relationship with Stephanie, how does that impact your relationship with Brandy? Because you guys have had some issues in the past.
Child, Brandy and I have tried to give each other concussion for years.
Right.
That's a headbutting competition that has never ended. And guess what? Maybe it ended. Yay!
Oh, really?
We'll see. But you know what? I'll say this, and I said it to Brandy in the second episode. My relationship with each individual woman in this group is based on my individual relationship with that woman in this group.
Right.
If so-and-so pisses in your purse and you're pissed, I'm not going to be mad at her for you. That's your purse and her piss, and that's y'all's issue. I'm just over here going, you shouldn't have pissed in her purse, And there you go. You know
well,
what I mean?
Brandy did offer her hat to Deandra when she was feeling sick and hungover in Mexico. So
yes.
Maybe it's more like vomit in the hat.
I'll take pee in a purse over vomit in a hat any day.
I wanted to ask you, there is a video that Donald posted that
what?
You reposted on Instagram where you're rapping to Cardi B.
Bodak Yellow.
Bodak Yellow. So do you have any other rap songs that you know?
Oh, I know most rap songs. But, you know, I'm also, like, super old school. Like, Salt and Peppa's here, and we, you know.
Oh, wait. No, keep going.
No.
Can you give us one? Give us a rap.
No, because it's so hard for me. You know, I need the music. I'm old people. I gotta have like the.
Should we
the
do
bass.
Like a beat? But like
no,
a
you know what's the one? What's the one where it was like shake, shake, shake booty? Oh damn it!
Oh, I feel like that's many songs.
It's old. It's an older song. I love that, but I love Bodak Yellow. I mean, you know.
Yeah.
I love Post Malone. I am really into music. My biological father loves music, and that music is where I find my serenity and my escape.
Yeah.
So I know I can adjust my emotional state through music.
Right. Do you have any other secret talents that we don't know
about? Oh, honey, I am talented AF, okay? I mean, seriously, you know, I did Star Search with Ed McMahon.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Let's see. I was Miss Makita.
Mm-hmm.
So I signed posters all over the country. I used to tell people, I'll drill you. And I just, you know, I've lived a big life.
Yeah.
I've lived a really, really big life. And I've loved every minute of it. I mean, you know, even I look back at the hard times, the hardest times that I've been through, the times where I felt the loneliest. And I still have learned something about myself every step of the way.
Yeah.
And that's the most important thing.
Of course.
If life isn't a lesson, you are doing it wrong.
Yeah, for sure.
And you're not growing.
I know coming up this season, we see your lingerie shower. And I believe you're asked a question about the wildest place you and Rich got it on.
Well.
Can you tell our listeners where that was?
It's a joke. We watch, you know, I like to watch cartoons at night before I go to bed.
Uh-huh.
It's my mind down race, so I watch Bob's Burgers and Family Guy.
Oh yeah.
And one Family Guy, Lois got a job in the post office and Peter was there, and Peter and Lois, you know, tried to have sex between like the front of the mailbox and the back of the mailbox. So I always tell Rich, you know, oh, it's a joke. We should drill a hole in the fence and like have sex through the fence. You know how many splinters I'd get in my ass?
Yeah,
like it's not actually happening, right? Because no, I'm not letting him pick those splinters out.
Like,
and
no.
What am I going to do? I'm going to go to my best friend and be like, so I have a problem. And I don't want you to ask me any questions. I showered, so there should be no issues with smell. But... I
literally
need to help. Yeah. Like tweezers.
Right, right.
I'm not going to a Karen now and be like, yeah, I got some splinters in my ass. Help. Like, it's not going to happen.
So where is the wildest place?
Well, we've christened every corner of our house.
There you go.
I mean, but I think our funnest place is probably in the pool. We love to, you know, have sex in the pool.
Okay.
Yeah, we you know, have... That's my bath. It's my bath. It's the only way he gets me to bathe. He's
right.
Like, go in the pool. And I'm like... Oh.
Like, come with me.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, Leanne, thank you so much for coming in. We appreciate it.
Thank
Congrats
you.
Congrats on the new season.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Let's do Rose and Thorn.
Okay, let's do Rose and Thorn.
My rose this week was Vicky saying schematics instead of semantics.
Oh, my
God. Well, that's just schematics.
The schematics, so let's just say that.
No, it's not schematics.
Well, and listen.
Right. And then they also, when they did the flashback, she said it again. And I was like, no, it's still wrong.
But it just made me think like, should that be Kim Kardashian's line instead of Skims? Schematics.
Oh, interesting.
Could be an offshoot.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
My rose is that the Daily Dish podcast was featured in a Pop Sugar roundup of some of the best podcasts to listen to that are like celebrity pop culture focused. So shout out to Zach Peter. He's a comedian. He also has his own podcast for highlighting Daily Dish and all of our hard work.
Thank you.
Thank you, Zach. All right. What was your thorn?
I would say my thorn is that we're not getting a Below Deck Med reunion.
Oh, that's true.
Because, I mean, I do feel like there are things I would like to see. I would want to know why Jack and Aisha aren't together.
Mm-hmm.
What happened there.
Mm-hmm.
I would want to see if Hannah's sort of gotten over the Captain Sandy, like, because they just didn't end things on a great note, I feel.
Yeah, that's true.
And I also would want to see Aisha kind of confront Joao, because I know that she was upset with him over some of his comments this season.
Mm-hmm. My thorn is from Married to Medicine, and it's Jocelyn Hernandez flying into this party and coming straight for Toya with, like, no reason. It comes out of nowhere.
I take care of my daughter every day. I take her to school and pick her up from school.
It's a job,
and everything.
Not really. What you call it?
I call it being a mother. I don't think it's a job.
Okay, mm. But being a mother is a full-time job.
I don't think so. But, you know, we're going to keep letting you living it up, not paying your taxes.
And Toya's just, like, immediately defensive, being like, who are you? And Buffy's like, this is my friend Jocelyn. And if you guys don't know Jocelyn Hernandez, she is another reality show star, and she is quite a pot stir.
What else has she been on?
Love and Hip Hop.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, she's beautiful, but clearly likes the drama. Next week, we have Brandi Redmond from Real Housewives of Dallas and Mariah Huck from Married to Medicine. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 9.
And remember, watching Bravo isn't a guilty pleasure.
It's self-care.
Guys, let's keep the conversation going. We want to talk to you all week long, not just Thursdays. You can find us on Twitter or Instagram at Bravo TV.
Don't forget to use the hashtag Bravo Daily Dish.
Or reach out to us personally. I'm everywhere at Meg Segura.
And I'm Eric J. Mack, E-R-I-K.
And if you're on Facebook, join the Daily Dish Facebook group.
You can post about what you're watching, your favorite shows, who's your favorite housewife, ask a question, start some drama. There's a lot of good stuff in there, so check it out. You can also learn more about the podcast at bravotv.com.
TTYL.
Bye.
Bye.
Looking fine, and I got my girls with me. With the boys at the table getting tipsy, miss me, kiss.